The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday night, the first Friday of the year 2017, and Madeline Gerwick is with us these first 2 hours tonight, the economist with the astrological footing, as they say. She's got a lot to talk about, not only about the economy and finance, but mostly about Donald Trump and the changing of the guard. And there are certainly a lot of people who are concerned about Trump making it safely through the inauguration on the 20th. Now, if you've seen the headlines at Rents in the last, you know, several 4 hours, something like that, you'll see the top stories that I put up there. Now, these are very important stories. It is projected by not just me, but a few others, that the controllers will probably do anything to keep from having to surrender their control and their power, including war. And I've said this many times. First story. Obama, Operation Atlantic Resolve. Why is Obama deploying thousands of U.S. battle tanks and heavy armored vehicles to Eastern Europe right now, just before he leaves office? Why is he sending another 1,600 battle tanks and armored vehicles over to Germany and Denmark to be moved into Poland and east to the Russian border? Why is Obama amassing American troops on the Russian border? Third story. Powerful people in the United States government want war and mass death. Fourth story. Obama sends more tanks to Poland to boost NATO. All right, I rest my case because I've been saying this for weeks. These people are insane, at least by our standards and our measure. They will do anything. I wouldn't be at all surprised if there wasn't a war ignited between Russia, at least a conventional war, a regional war, around the 20th, any time between now and the 20th. So Obama can declare a national emergency and invoke continuity of power and stay in office. It's not improbable. It's not impossible. There could also be a medium-grade nuclear suitcase bomb, or two, or three, lit off in American cities. And the mainstream media, of course, would instantly say that the Iranians did it, or the Russians did it. And most America would start screaming for blood. It's that simple to do. Most Americans are not as smart as you, wherever you are, and if you're not an American, you get it too. It doesn't matter. You understand the control game. Well, it's not encouraging. Donald Trump is maintaining his security with a mixed group, Secret Service, former New York police, certainly what we call mercenaries, other professionals, and he's done, I think, very, very intelligent things along the lines of securing himself and his family. It's a very, very dicey situation. Anything can happen. I think Obama is desperate. I don't think his ego can stand for the concept that he will no longer be the big dog on the block living in the White House. These are dangerous days, all right? You'll make your own decisions. All I can do is put the material up there for you. Operation Atlantic Resolve. Why? Why would he do that 2 weeks before he leaves office? It makes no sense unless something's up. The whole fake news thing was invented to obfuscate pedophilia and Pizzagate, right? The whole Russian hack, non-existent Russian hacking, created to hide Pizzagate pedophilia at the highest levels. That's my sense of it. Keep it all in mind as we move into this very dangerous 2 weeks. And thereafter, it's not going to end on the 20th, believe me. Madeline, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. And how are you?
I'm still here, thank you. And watching the sideshow with, well, it's actually the main event. It's not
the
a sideshow anymore.
Yes, that's right. The main event, yes. Well, certainly there are some potential dangers that could occur with the next few weeks before the inauguration. However, we have to keep in mind that no nuclear bombs can be set off in any city or anywhere terrestrially, on Earth anyways, anymore.
And then why do you say that?
Because the ETs have made it clear that we cannot have any more nuclear bombs, you know, released on Earth anymore. You know, no.
Well, that announcement must have been made after 9/11 because they were used to bring the towers down.
Well, I don't know that that's completely accurate. We know they had thermite and a few other things, nanothermite and stuff like that.
Not nearly enough to do the damage, but at any rate, okay.
Yeah.
I think E.T. would make a much stronger statement than whispering, hey, don't use any more nukes. Well, we don't know what's been said.
Oh, well, the E.T.s actually have, you know, dismembered and completely reduced to non-working status almost all the nuclear bombs in the world. So,
and where do we have that guaranteed?
Well, now there's quite a bit of information about that in the Disclosure Project and some of the Project Camelot whistleblowers and trying to think of who else has that information, but those are the two primary places I remember reading it.
Project Camelot whistleblowers?
Well, yeah, Project Camelot portal, I think, .com is the, but the whistleblowers, there, many of them have mentioned or talked about the nuclear bombs being...
They're actually saying that extraterrestrials have come down here and neutralized the nuclear weapons arsenals of both Russia, China, the United States, Great Britain, Pakistan, and anybody else, not to mention the Israelis. So they've all been neutralized. That's the word?
That's what. And a long time ago, I want to guess maybe 8 years ago, I actually had a client who had been following me for a number of years, and he called me on the phone to tell me that I believe he was in the Midwest, someplace like Minnesota or someplace like that, and he was listening to the radio there, the local guy, and the guy all of a sudden starts kind of jumping up and down and hollering that there's a missile going past his building
mm-hmm.
that he can see out front. And then just moments later, a UFO ship appears and knocked it out. And then, of course, disappeared. So when I heard that story, I thought, okay, that proves that whatever those guys were saying is accurate, that they're not going to let any more of those nuclear bombs be set off. And I can't even imagine why that was happening at that time, but they didn't let it happen, you see. So I don't think there's any chance of them being able to do that. And I think we ought to just ignore that possibility, because I'm certain they would not allow it. The problem with the nuclear bombs is that it doesn't just impact the Earth. It actually has a negative impact on the time-space continuum.
Right, I've heard that, yes.
Yeah, so it's not just us. You know, they're protecting themselves as well as us.
No, it's nuclear. We should never have split the atom.
Right.
That's a bottle we never should have pulled the cork out of. The genie is out. Fukushima continues to do what it's doing, creating
right.
far more damage than all the nuclear bombs ever lit off have caused.
Yeah.
Fukushima will be doing this for thousands and thousands of years unless some way is developed to transmute underground thousands, tens of thousands of pieces of the fuel that melted down through the containment. We didn't even know where it is. So,
well, now, I have heard that a number of the ETs are also helping with that, and that they are working to clean that up as... That's
well, they better hurry, because the West Coast, if you've seen the videos, the tide pools all the way down to Point Loma and San Diego look like they've been scrubbed with bleach. There's nothing left.
Oh, my God.
There are normally 6,000-plus species of life in the tide pools, and they look like they're on Mars or Venus now. There's nothing left. So all of a sudden, everything I've been saying, and Yoichi Shimatsu and Dana Durnford for 5.5 years is now true.
Yeah.
No one would listen before. So if the ETs are cleaning this up, they have to clean up the entire Northern Pacific Ocean.
Well, that is a big job, and I'm sure it's going to take them a while to do it. but I do think there is possibly a faster cleanup period than what we anticipate, shall we say. But you don't know until you kind of go through those rabbit holes. So, but shall we talk about something more interesting? I want to start by mentioning the fact that today is January 6th, and for me anyways, this is an important day, because this is the day
uh-huh.
that the three wise men came to bring gifts to Jesus. Now, why would that be an important date to me? Well, the three wise men, why were the three wise men considered wise?
Uh-huh.
They were astrologer priests.
Right.
And so this particular day is the day that I think of as being most associated with astrologers. Certainly the three wise men
Is that true? I didn't know that. They're almost 2 weeks late, according to contemporary dating, but be that
well,
as it may.
Well, this is when they arrived, right? Theoretically, this is,
right.
you know, the length of time it took him to arrive at his birth.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it's interesting to me because Jesus was a revolutionary leader in his own time, you see, because he was helping people to understand the concept that God was within them. And, you know, the relationship was something internal, not via the rabbis or priests or whatever. Not, you know, you didn't need an intermediary to have a relationship with God. So that was a very revolutionary concept at that time. And it's interesting that today's the day that Trump got confirmed as president. So here's another revolutionary leader.
Uh-huh.
That's, you know, somehow being birthed, you know, at the time that the three wise men are showing up. So, kind of an interesting timing for that.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I think I told you there was no chance that there would... Well, maybe I told this to my newsletter, actually.
No, you told me. You did. You said, don't worry, the inauguration will go on. No
right.
problems, no hitches. It will happen. And that's I'm always happy to hear news like that.
Yes, and Trump is actually, in his own chart, very well protected. Now, he has Jupiter trine his own sun, North Node, and Uranus in his chart, which is part of the reason why he has all these ingenious ideas that managed to bring him 500 companies, and mm-hmm. and now he's president, right? Or about
almost.
To be president.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost president. So so he has a very interesting inauguration chart as well. And in that inauguration chart, Jupiter overhead is exactly trine his sun, showing that he's going to be protected throughout this four-year presidency.
When you say trying his son, you're not talking about Eric or Donald Jr.
No.
You're talking about the son. Okay.
Yeah, the son in his chart.
All right, gotcha.
The S-U-N son, yes.
Gotcha.
Thank you for reminding me to clarify that, yes. And so in his inauguration chart, he is very well protected, and, you know, perhaps the Secret Service isn't quite so reliable, but...
I wouldn't trust them with my piggy bank.
right.
This is all you got to do. I think Donald Trump has learned from the assassination and betrayal by
yeah.
part of the Secret Service that you can't trust the Secret Service, and that's not to say there aren't some wonderful men and women working in that particular division of security, but that's why he has mixed it with his own people. He will not rely on the Secret Service to provide his entire security. It won't happen.
Right, right. I'm certain he would never make that mistake. And of course, you know, so from a certain point of view, he's protected by the universe. He's protected by his own people. He's protected by the 200-plus generals that support him in the military. And so he's got plenty of protection. And it's not that he doesn't have powerful enemies. He has extremely powerful enemies. And that shows up in the chart. He's got Pluto is exactly square to his Jupiter, which shows very major power issues for this presidency. So they're not going to go away. They'll be there for the whole 4 years. There'll be people
yeah,
trying
sure.
to get rid of him.
Oh, I've been saying that over and over again. This is not
yeah.
not a day will go by when there's not an effort made to bring
right.
him harm or impede his progress. And the Democrats
right.
have even made that announcement. So,
but, you know, the Democrats are pretty well sidelined at this point. They're not effective. And they pretty much did that to themselves. I mean, they...
Right.
you know, no matter who hacked whom, the information that came out of WikiLeaks was true and accurate. And since WikiLeaks has a 100% perfect record of none of their releases ever being proven to be inaccurate in any way...
That's correct.
There's, I think, no real... argument to be made about who hacked it or not. You see, it's really irrelevant who hacked it because, and of course, Assange declares that it did not come from any Russians or
he's
Russian
been saying that
supporters.
For a long time. Now,
yes.
Let me ask you a question. Have you done Julian Assange chart?
No, I don't have his birth data, so that is
yeah,
a
there's
problem.
There's a problem, and the problem is Sean Hannity did a sit-down one-on-one with Julian Assange, right?
I saw that, yes.
Okay, well, that's not what you saw. They were not in the same room. They never met. And apparently, it was a green screen to match the background as well as they could, but the shadows are not right.
Huh. Huh.
So there was no definitive proof there that Assange is still alive. That's what I got posted. You can read it, take a look, process it any way you want. I don't have the answer. I can tell you that anything we see or hear anymore can easily be contrived. There's no guarantee, because what you see and what you hear is not necessarily what you got.
Right.
And I don't know that Hannity sat down. It's apparent that if you read it, he didn't meet him. He did it in a separate room. And where that room was, I don't know.
Very
so
interesting.
The story's up there. Just take a look at it and consider it. That's all I can do, is present things that I think are worth pondering and reading and at least being aware of.
Well, one thing that Assange said in that interview that I thought resonated with the astrology was that they were prepared to release a lot more
Every day they're going to
Release more.
Yeah.
Now the reason that resonated with me is because I think I have mentioned on your show before, and certainly in my newsletters and email updates, that we're right now in a period of disclosure. Uranus at 20 degrees Aries is at a pivot point. And what I saw the first time it got there was all this information about the secret space program started coming out. And I thought, 20 degrees Aries, uh-huh. We're going to have disclosure when this gets there.
Have you heard any of the Bill Tompkins interviews?
Yes, absolutely, uh-huh. Yeah. And, you know, and of course there's other ones too out there, but basically, and of course that Antarctica release, I think, is definitely going to happen to the mainstream media. And so, you know, there's the timing of this, to me, is very critical, because it fits with what I see astrologically, that this is the time that we would have a huge amount of disclosure, whether it's ETs and UFOs or 911 or, you know, pedophilia, child sacrifice, whatever, you know, it's all right. Been happening during this period when it looks like it should be happening. So that's going to be there through the end of this month. And I think we're in for quite a ride with the stuff that's going to get released.
I think what's going on also is Donald Trump is being given information that he may never have dreamed about how the whole structure of power is actually arranged and what he can and cannot do. I think he's probably finding things out. We all saw him after that first meeting in the White House with Obama looking like a man who had just been sentenced to death. He came out and he looked horrible. He looked like he was so depressed. If you go back and look at that, it's remarkable. And I had a note from Dave Lindorf today, a journalist. He says, Trump is already standing back and beginning to retreat from his position on the fraudulent Russian hack story. God knows what they told him when they got him alone in a room with the heads of the CIA, FBI, NSA, and Army Cyber Command, but it had to have been daunting. Obama got the message at the first White House party after the election, when
right.
that couple of employees from the Pentagon who were not on the guest list made their way right up to him and shook hands and introduced themselves. The message was, your Secret Service protection doesn't mean crap, Mr. President. We can get to you anytime we want. And he's towed the line ever since. However, that brings me back to what I said, and then we'll take our break here. Why is he deploying thousands of U.S. battle tanks and armored vehicles and thousands of troops now, right now, in just the time between 15
right.
days, 2 weeks, between now and the inauguration?
I think you're probably right that they'll try anything, but you know what? Putin's too smart for him, and he's not going to take the bait. He hasn't taken it
so
yet.
So far, however, if they false flag something and attack, he'll have to do something. He'll have no choice. He'll have to do something. They can force him to militarily respond if there's a false flag. Just that's a possibility. We can't dismiss. As I've said, there's so much on the table now. It's really crazy. Hold on just a minute, if you would, Madeline. We'll come right back with Madeline Gerwick in just a minute. With Madeline, who is on the first Friday of each month. All right, back with Madeline, and we are, hope you can hear me all right.
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got it. Okay. Madeline's with us the first Friday of each month. We're going through her astrological analysis of what's going on right now, and always unique. We'll have to see. We got 2 weeks until the inauguration. I don't understand any reason, any justification for the massive buildup of NATO and now the massive buildup of American armor, armored vehicles, special forces, and ground troops. What in the hell is he doing?
Well, I think you're probably, your guess is probably correct that he wants to try and maintain power, but and it's probably actually not Obama. It's probably
He's not. He's a sock puppet.
Yeah,
we know that.
The cabal, right?
Of course,
the cabal wants power. Wants to maintain their power. I just don't think that they're going to be able to pull it off. You know, just looking at the astrology of what's going on, I just don't think it's possible. It's the wrong energy, you see, because what's happening,
Madeline?
Right now,
excuse me. Hold on that note before we get off of it. What was the energy before 9/11? Was it saying that yes, the cabal could seemingly do anything they want? That was pulled off with very little difficulty.
You know, there was a major cycle occurring very exact that day. It was Saturn opposite Pluto. And so, yes, they managed to pull that off. Now, I happen to be listening to Rebecca Roth, who was in the airline industry for years. And
I know her. I had her on the program several times.
Right. And when she said the thing about that she thought she was watching a movie when she saw the second plane, you know, run into the building, the second tower, because she knew that an airplane couldn't do that, that it would bounce off of the building and then, explode and fall to the ground in pieces. And I went, oh my God, I should have thought of that because I studied physics just like everyone else had studied science. And I should have been able to figure that out, but I don't
remember her saying that. And when you have the average height per floor of 12 feet, I believe it is, with the drop ceilings and everything, and figuring that about 90% of that building is air, what is to cause an airliner to bounce off rather than go right through and between the floors of a building? I don't understand why she would say that, because it's wide open. And they had a B-24 bomber, I think it was a B-24, in the late 1940s or during the war years, that went right into the Empire State Building and did the same thing. It went right between the floors and disintegrated inside the building. Same thing.
Huh.
So there is precedent.
She said that it would bounce off the columns, the steel columns.
That's ludicrous. The plane would not bounce off anything. It would crumple like a piece of aluminum foil. Those planes are not built like bricks. They're very lightweight in comparison to the punishment they take. Like an Atlas rocket, if you've ever seen a rocket launch, you can go up to the side of an Atlas rocket, take your hand, and push on the side of it, and the thin metal shell, the skin, will flex in and out.
Oh, my goodness.
So an airliner would go right into and through one of those buildings, the bulk of it. I don't believe that for a second. I don't think physics would back it up. Planes aren't going to bounce off that building. If that building were solid cement from the ground to the top or solid steel with no floors in between, you might have a point. You and I'm speaking rhetorically. But right. I just don't buy that at all. Not at all.
Well, I can't vouch for it one way or the other, but I just thought that was pretty shocking because it never would have occurred to me that that's what would have happened. But
well,
anyways.
See, you've got that, and then you have the no-planers who say they weren't planes at all. It was just some kind of, you know, a laser light show that made it look like aircraft were coming in. And no, they
that's
were drones. They were drones.
Probably likely. Yeah.
No.
You don't
no.
think so, huh?
No, they were drone at Boeing aircraft. The windows were blacked out. They were designed to do exactly what they did. They were flown remotely, and they were flown right into the buildings. No, they could never have knocked those towers down. Never. Wouldn't happen.
No.
And
no,
we
they
have
could
historical
never
have done that, no. precedent from the 1940s. A U.S. big U.S. bomber went right into the Empire State Building. Look it up.
Yeah.
Did that fall over? No.
Well, there's never actually ever been any still building that ever burned ever.
No high rise has ever burned and fallen over. Never.
Nope, ever.
They burned, but I don't
9/11,
mean.
Yeah. When three of them did
well,
that.
Well, those were the shaped nuclear charges that went up the 13-column internal spine of the building and just essentially vaporized everything. That's
yeah,
the thought.
Yeah, I mean,
thought.
It was
they had thermite.
Demolished.
They did. And when you have all of that concrete steel turning to dust, see, when a building falls, and they drop buildings all the time, there's a certain ratio that's left above ground. Percentage, 20% of the total mass of the building piles up in a heap, and then they have to haul it away. Well, when the towers fell, there was no such. It's about 15 or 20 stories worth. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing there. A hole
wow.
in the ground. So something was up. It's just anyhow.
Right.
We're wasting a lot of time on this. I didn't mean to do that, but it's so easy for people to get sidetracked and buy into these stories that just aren't true. I don't want to do that.
So maybe we should get back to what's happening here for the coming presidency and the economy that's going to be happening this year.
And is already happening. Ford,
yes.
GM, mm-hmm. Carrier, and the investment of $30 billion by that financial fund. I've forgotten the name of it now. So lots of things already going on.
Right. And actually, the chart for the inauguration shows that the economy is on the upswing. And astrologically, in May, I believe it's May 9th, we are supposed to reach the next economic high, which will last a year and a half through November 5th, I think, of 2018. And then after that, we'll have a year and a half of a residential high, residential market, basically, home market.
Right,
high
right.
for a year and a half. So next 3 years should be pretty strong during his presidency. And actually, one of the things that's rumored, of course, we don't know that this is going to happen, but one of the things that's rumored is that he's going to choose a Treasury Secretary who will essentially abolish the Federal Reserve and bring back the gold standard for the U.S. dollar and put in Treasury dollars. Now, this kind of stuff has been rumored for probably...
Well, John Kennedy tried it.
Yes.
Look, Donald Trump can appoint the governors to the Federal Reserve. He can put in people who are not out of the same cookie cutter that are constantly being installed by presidents and put new people in there as a step toward reining the Fed in and making it really work for the people rather than the controllers. And that's a possibility. I don't see the Fed being torn down or taken apart completely. Maybe remanufactured, reconfigured, reshaped, reformed. Yeah, that's more likely to me.
Reformed in the sense that it could not charge the U.S. interest and fleece taxpayers, continue to fleece taxpayers like it has for the past 103 years.
This wouldn't be called the planet usury anymore.
Well, it would be nice to get past that, because of course that's a lot of the problem. Now, one of the reasons why I think Trump is going to help with this economy, and he has got, essentially speaking, he's got a good plan in terms of lowering taxes and so forth. But there's something else he's going to do that has been hanging on for quite a long time. And I think way back when I first, early on when I first got on your show, we talked about the global currency reset.
Yeah.
And that there could not be you couldn't actually avoid a crash of the financial system unless you had the global currency reset. And boy, you know, I've thought for probably, I think, 3 years maybe, that it was going to happen, it was going to happen, it was going to happen. And it didn't happen. Because, of course, the cabal do not want it to happen, and they had Obama in their pocket, and so it didn't happen. Well, not too long ago, this was maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
I saw I listened to a channeling of Cryon. And do you remember we had Lee Carroll on last March?
Yes.
With me?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so this was a channeling of Cryon from him. And Cryon was saying that because we had elected Trump, that we had averted a financial crisis that was in place to occur if, you know, Clinton had been elected. Now, the only way that I can foresee that that could be averted is that they would go ahead and do the global currency reset. So I expect that to happen fairly early, although there is a Venus retrograde that's going to start March 4th. Now, that will last about 6 weeks, and that is a time period where we're rethinking money, revaluing things, and that can include money. So that is possible that we could see that occur during that six-week period between March 4th and April 15th. And then we'll also be in Mercury retrograde until May 3rd. So that period in there, March, April, very early May, there's a lot of rethinking going on as to what's happening and so forth. It's possible that they're going to either do the global currency reset right away or sometime in March, and that's how they will avert the crisis. That would be my best guess. And so a lot of humanitarian funds are supposed to be released with that, and I think I mentioned that on my last show with you to one of the callers, that you can still sign up to get humanitarian funds for yourself and for other people to help the planet in any way you like. And
who's going to administer these humanitarian funds, and again, what's the source of it?
Well, the gold and the money is actually, I believe, coming mostly out of Asia. That gold actually goes all the way back to the Anunnaki, and originally it was given to King Solomon. So, you know, it's been around a long time, and, you know, the Anunnaki probably just over-mined gold for their planet when they needed it for their atmosphere. And so there was a huge amount of it left here on Earth, which has been, hidden, shall we say, mm-hmm. for a very long mm-hmm. time. And they have actually been trying to get these humanitarian funds out since 1948. But corruption at every level. And, of course, JFK did attempt to sign that treaty with Sukarno. And then he got killed 10 days later, and Sukarno got driven out of his country and so forth. So they've tried this for a very, very long time, and what they've concluded is that there's no way to do it via organizations, governments, anything like that. There's just too much corruption. So they're going to give the money to just regular common people. And they're going to actually have, a protocol so that you're going to get maybe 20% of the money, but, 3 to 4 times that much will be set aside for you to direct into a humanitarian projects of whatever nature you want. And they can actually even be for-profit companies that are doing something that's helping humanity. It doesn't have to be all nonprofit.
Right.
But, so there's a lot of things I think that can happen here that have been basically thwarted for the last 3 or 4 years that, a number of us thought, holy cow, it didn't happen here. How much longer is the road? How much longer can you keep putting it off before, the country is going to go bankrupt?
How about let's take a minute here and look at India. What's happening in India.
Yeah,
and some of
sure
you know.
Do.
They banned cash.
Yeah. Well, not all of it, but just all the big
80,
ones.
86% of its cash banned overnight in India.
Yep.
So this has caused a lot of riots, a lot of civil unrest over there.
Yep.
Can't imagine why. But where is this going to go? 86% of cash is now out of circulation. It's not going well at this point.
Well, what I see happening here is this is another control device, right? Where they they want to make sure that all your cash is going into banks where they can tax it and get fees on it and all these other things, right? And they can monitor every dollar where it goes and so forth, right? So they give a lot of excuses about black market stuff going on and things like that, but. Yeah, realistically, that's a very small percentage of most countries' marketplaces. But when you do something like this and you make something illegal, you're just driving things into a different situation. So this is going to result in gold, silver, Bitcoin, any other cyber currencies that are coming along. All of them will become much more effective and used a lot more. Because of the cash thing,
Best performing currency of last year was Bitcoin.
Oh, right. And it had a very big up and down day, yesterday. So I don't know what's happening there. But if you look at Bitcoin, it's not that far off from the price of gold. It's pretty close to the price of an ounce of gold. It's very close. So, so it's very interesting what's happening with Bitcoin. So I think... at least from an economic point of view, there has never been any way to successfully make anything illegal. And, they've tried it with prohibition and they try it with prostitution.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. As soon as something's outlawed, it automatically becomes more popular, more valuable, and residual.
And, of course,
everywhere.
They can't tax it either because they have no proof of it.
No.
So really what would happen there, and I think these people just have not thought through the consequences, because people will just, they'll buy gold or silver. They'll probably buy a lot of silver, actually, in some place like India, and Bitcoin and things of that nature. And then all of those things will be completely out of their banking system, and they won't be able to track it at all.
Of course.
So they're just making things worse. For themselves, they think they're going to, improve things in some way in terms of controlling corruption and all that. But we know that's baloney. That's never going to work.
I wonder who was behind this. They used obviously India as a test, a trial balloon to see how this would work.
Yeah,
I wonder who really pulled
Venezuela.
The strings. Yeah, that's right.
But they also are trying to promote this in Australia, which is the 13th largest economy in the world. Now, that's not a poor country like Cyprus or Greece, for God's sake. It's not even what we would think of as third world, you see. So there's a big test case going on right there. And, of course, there's been a lot of talk about that in the U.S. as well, getting rid of the $100 bill and the $50 bill. So, I don't know. It's certainly a good time to own gold and silver, and probably a really good time to own some Bitcoin if you're inclined in that direction.
Uh-huh.
And I can't see it going down much further. I think the reason it went down, by the way, gold and silver, is because Trump got elected. And the stock market went up, the confidence in the U.S. dollar went up, and so forth. But with the cash crunch, you know, the war on cash, that's likely to turn around, and the price of gold is likely to go up. Silver is likely to go up. Bitcoin's likely to go up. Well, Good time to buy.
You know what India is trying to do to assuage the rage of the public? They're trying to install a universal basic income for everyone.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how that goes.
That'll
be interesting to see.
Two very radical moves.
Yeah,
you take away
very...
the cash, you're 86% of it. Why not 87%? I don't know. But now they're talking about India being set to approve. Somehow they're going to approve it. I don't know if it'll be a national referendum. Probably not. A universal basic income for all Indians. So it looks to me like India is being used as an enormous petri dish to see what grows. Here's the story, one of them. The Indian government is likely to introduce universal basic income, a practice of paying every person a fixed sum of money as a means to stimulate the economy and improve the quality of life of its citizens. This according to the concept's leading proponent. The Indian government is preparing a report documenting that a universal basic income, UBI, is feasible and basically the way forward. This according to a professor named Guy Standing, a leading advocate for UBI, which is, of course, universal basic income, and the leader of the Basic Income Earth Network, BIEN. So,
well, they're not the first country to discuss that possibility.
No.
And I want to say, I think maybe it was Switzerland, but I can't remember. It was someplace
you may be right. You might be right.
Over in Europe, that was the first place to really propose it. And I think if you really look at the bureaucracy of all this crazy nonsense about welfare, they pay out just a small percentage of the cost to the actual recipients.
Uh-huh.
You see, the cost of running the big bureaucracy is, you know, the majority of
it. It eats up much of the capital that's supposed to be distributed. I understand. It's just kind of like an reverse charitable organization, which spends 95% of its income on payroll for its employees and running the enterprise.
It's crazy. So that's where that idea came from, you see. If somebody finally woke up and said, what's the point of paying all these people to decide that, yeah, you're eligible to get this money when you could just take the same money and distribute it to everybody in your country and you would get a better result. So that's where that came from. I don't know if they actually did it. I know they proposed it in some of those other places, but...
Well, time will tell, I guess.
We'll see how it goes,
So basically, in a nutshell, just to wrap up the political aspect of our discussion, you see Donald Trump being sworn in on Inauguration Day, no problem. That part will go okay. Soros and all of his minions and all of their plans and 500,000 women supposedly going to show up to demonstrate against Trump. Of course, many Harley-Davidson riders are going there, so they're going to be a lot of
interesting
group. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about the inauguration chart is that it shows that there is, you know, a fair number of people who are trying to thwart his
yes, there
actions,
are, and some very malignant people at that. Can you hold on, please, Madeline?
Yes.
I got to take a break here. We'll come back and pick it up right there in just a few minutes.
Okay.
With Madeline. Hold on.